This is Hacker Public Radio episode 3057 for Tuesday, the 21st of April 2020. Today's show is entitled Formal Verification with Cock. It is the 40th anniversary show of Tuku Toro Tau, and is about 21 minutes long, and carries a clean flag. The summary is, Tutortu talks about formally verifying code.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hello and welcome to the Hacker Public Radio. I'm Tuukka Turto and today's episode is about Cock. So Cock, that's a French for rooster, is an interactive theorem prover that I have been toying around a little bit recently. So as usual, all the code samples and such will be in the show notes. If you can, it might be a good idea to follow along there. So I wanted to do something, some computation about blood types recently, and this is the simple model that they explain you in the elementary school biology class. So you have a gene that has three alleles, and based on those alleles, you get a blood type. So there's an allele of A, B, and O, and respective blood types are A, B, AB, and O. So I wanted to model this in Cock. So I started by defining types. In Cock, they are defined as a inductive blood type allele, colon type, colon equals, and then list of the constructors separated by a pipe. So I have a blood type A, blood type B, and blood type O. And this is the allele, the specific version of the gene. And each human, most of the time at least, if there hasn't been any mistakes along the way, have two of these, one inherited from the father and one inherited from the mother. So then the blood type I defined as an inductive blood type, colon equals, and again the constructors separated by the pipes. So type A, type B, type AB, and type O. This is the resulting blood type. So if you have, for example, you have blood type A and blood type B alleles, the resulting blood type is type AB. So we need a mapping between these two things, of course. And in Cock, there's at least two ways of defining functions. There's a simpler definition, and then there's the fixed point that is used to define recursive functions. The recursive functions can be a bit tricky sometimes because Cock has a requirement that all the functions have to produce a value. So we don't have exceptions and we don't have infinite recursion. So when you are defining a recursive function, you have to define it in a way that the compiler can figure out that if this actually terminates or not. But luckily for us, we don't have to worry about that because our function blood type with a lower case B is a simple mapping. Like there's it gets two parameters of blood type allele And based off the those two parameters, it will have a value of plot type. So it's a simple mapping. So it's defined as a definition, plot type, paren, AB, colon, plot type allele, close paren. This is the, this defines that there's a two parameters, A and B, and they are of plot type allele. And then continuous, colon, plot type. This is the return value, colon equals, and then comes the actual function definition. Here we have a match A comma B with, this is a well, pattern match basically, and then each pattern is separated with a byte from each other. So there's a plot type A comma plot type A arrow type A. This means that when A is plot type A and B is plot type A, then this function will have value of type A. And then we have a each and every combination here. And Cox compiler will make sure that you cover each and every case. It won't compile code that doesn't cover each case, because like I said, every function in Cox has to always produce a value. They have to be total. This is because I think it, I understood that it's because this is a mathematical tool, so you have to have a, if you define a function, you have to have a value for whole domain. Okay, so now we have a function, and we have a two types, so we can give that function two types, two values, and it will produce as a value. We can try that out as in an interactive mode, writing compute, open paren plot type, and then say plot type B, plot type A, close paren, and dot of course. And when we evaluate that, it will produce as type AB. So this is nice and all, but the interesting part about Cox, like I said earlier, that it is an interactive theorem prover, meaning that you can state theorems and you can prove them, or at least try to prove them. So for our function, I have two theorems. First one is written as theorem, double O results O type, colon. This is the name of the theorem. Plot type O equals type O dot. This means that when plot type function is applied with plot type O and plot type O parameters, it will have value of type O. This is a theorem. And then proof for that is proof dot reflexivity dot QED dot. This is a so simple theorem that Cox is able to reason it all of it by just reflexivity. It basically simplifies the left and right side of the theorem. Notice that they are same and is happy. And every theorem always ends with QED. That's Latin from quod erat demonstrantum, or some along that lines. Basically means this is what was supposed to be proven. In Finnish, that's MOT, mikä oli todistettava. Okay, and now if we had a more complex theorem where we would be using our plot type function for some reason, and we would notice that there's a pattern that matches to this theorem, we could use this theorem in to help solving that more complex theorem. So let's write another one, a little bit more complex one. This one is called, this is written as a theorem, not double O does not result O type, colon. So if you have a if you have something that is not two blood type O's, you're not going to get a O type as a result. I mean type O as a result. And this theorem is stated as for all open paren B1, B2, colon, blood type allele, close paren, comma. So for every blood type allele, B1 and B2, the following holds. B1 is not equal to blood type O, or B2 is not equal to blood type O, implies blood type B1, B2 is not equal to type O. So, if blood type function is applied to something that is not blood type O, two blood type O values, it will not produce type O result. It will produce something else. This theorem does not say anything about that, but it states that it won't be type O. The proof for this one is in the show notes. It's a little bit more longer. I'm not going to go through it line by line because I don't understand this theorem proving well enough so that I could explain it. But the basic idea is that we are using destruct for B1 and B2. That is a case study in the theorem proving part. So we are proving this theorem by going through and basically applying blood type function with each and every value and observing what happens. So first we are going to go with a blood type A and blood type A, and we are using our discriminate tactic to tell Cog to observe that hey, these two things applied to blood type are different than type O. Tactics is a sort of a tool used in the theorem proving. There's a reflexivity is probably the easiest one. It simplifies both sides of the theorem and observes that they are the same. Discriminate observes that they are different, and destruct makes a case that it goes through each and every possible case. There's lots and lots of these in the Cog, and I think you can even write your own if the existing ones for some reason aren't enough. The third one mentioned in the proof is simple. That just simplifies without trying to observe if they are same or not. And contradiction is the last one that I used in this theorem. It basically proves if you end up with contradiction like true equals to false, you can use the contradiction to prove that because of this previous thing holds. And in any case, and again, the theorem ends in QED, meaning that this has been proven. So now if we have a case, if we have some theorem somewhere else that talks about that has a plot type V1, V2, and we know that the P1 is something else that plot type O, we know that the result won't be type O because of this theorem. If you pay really close attention, you know that notice that I define this if then manner. So if these parameters are not blood type O, then the blood type V1 V2 is not type O. I could have defined that if and only if, because then the relation would hold to the both directions. But I wanted to try with a little bit simple way, because now this theorem can be only used from blood type. I mean, this can only used in one direction. If we had used the if and only if as basically the arrow pointing to the both directions, then we could reason it to the both directions. It would be a much stronger theorem, but one step at a time. And then in the show notes, there's a how this would be written in a mathematical notation. I don't know how to pronounce all these things, but basically it's the same, that for all B1, B2, B1 is not blood type O, or B2 is not blood type O, then blood type B1, B2 is not type O. That's basically the gist of the thing. So, why theorem proving? I, of course, could have written this function in Haskell or any other language, and written a bunch of, I could have stared it really sternly and reasoned inside my head that yes, this works correctly. Or I could have written a bunch of unit tests. I could have used even QuickCheck to produce me a random data for testing, and with this small function, the QuickCheck most likely will cover all possible cases. But with using the mathematical theorem and reasoning and proving it, we can show that this is exactly how this function works. There's no question about that now. Of course, the theorems are only as good as the starting point. So if I had the specification of this function incorrectly, then no theorem could make it magically work correctly. I would only prove that I can only prove that this theorem, I mean this function, now follows this specification that I was given. But if that specification is incorrect or I misunderstood that, then this tool is not going to fix anything. And the Koch, on the other hand, Koch will, when I make this theorem and prove it, the Koch will verify it. It will keep track of that I have covered all the cases and that my reason is sane. So this is on the other hand, this is really powerful tool, because now I can give this function, these types, these theorems and proofs to a colleague of mine, and they can be fairly sure that hey, this does what it is supposed to do, and they can step through the proof line by line and observe how the proof evolves and what Koch displays while you are proving it. But now that we have a function in the Koch, what can we do with that? Glad that you asked, because how I came to this tool is because of the following. We can add at the bottom of the source file, if we had defined this in a module called genes, we can add at the bottom of the source code two lines: extraction language Haskell and extraction genes. That's the name of the module. And when we compile the module, it will compile it normally, but in addition to that, it will output Haskell code that I copied in the show notes. The data type definitions are quite close to what I have written, and the plot type function has correct signature. It has the correct behavior. The code itself is a little bit odd looking for me. That's not how I would have written it by hand, but it does what it is supposed to do. So now that I had a specification that told me how this function is supposed to work. I wrote the types and the implementation of function in Koch using the Gallina language. Gallina is a French for hen, by the way. And proved some properties about it. I proved that if you have plot type O as a parameters to the plot type function, it will produce a type O. And I also proved that if you have anything else it will never prove, it will never produce type O. So now we know how the type O blood works in this function, and we could write more proofs about how different combinations of alleles work. And then we, after proving that code, we extract it into the Haskell, and now I can take that Haskell code and throw it in some program and say that this piece of code don't have to be tested because it has been mathematically proven to be correct. Of course, that's a bit of a stretch because you have to consider how it fits into the grander scheme of things, and you might have missed, or I might have missed some cases when proving. Like I said, the result is only as good as the initial specifications and your theorems. Because if you have incorrect specifications or misunderstand the specification and have bad theorems, then this isn't going to fix your code. But if you have those correctly, this will help you to write code that is correct and it's formally verified to do what it is supposed to do. I add a couple links in the show notes. There's four books, Software Foundations, that I have been reading. It starts from the very basics and goes all the way to the about writing formally verified algorithms. And then there's a Cock in a Hurry. That's a 50-page short book that you can read through to have an idea what you can do with this tool. That's what I had about this subject for this time. Best way to reach me is nowadays via email or in the Fediverse, where I'm tuturto@mastodon.social. Questions, comments, feedback is always welcomed. Ad Astra.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.